know what Sacktown brings. When on the low, that's a Sacktown thing. Talking the about
only
us, it's
station
a
in Sacramento
thing.
Giving they forgot total sports coverage from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Sacktown Sports.
If you doubted us then, ain't no backspinning. This is real right here, ain't no catfishing. So tell me what you see now. Coming down the lane off the rebound. It's 9:16 now. Look towards the sky like the beam now. Tell them like the beam. Like the beam.
Our guy Young Zell on the tracks right there. Sacramento, this is your day. You're in the spotlight. Big game tonight against the hated rivals, the Golden State Warriors, in your own crib inside Golden 1 Center. You're listening to The Drive, guys, here on Sacktown Sports 1140. The high flyer himself, Henry Turner, joining us. You ever miss the league on nights like this? Miss playing, being in the locker room, being getting ready?
You know what? Let me tell you this. And any ex-NBA player that has played and career was over, whether you played long, whether you played short, there's nothing, KD. Nothing. I've done a lot of things in this world, but there's nothing that's going to give you that exact same high as when you run out that locker room. You know, you think about cats like Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. They try so many other things out in the world to try to get that exact same high, and it just don't happen.
You can't find it.
So me having this gig here, being able to still be around the game, be around the players, it's the best possible thing that I can do.
Right.
Because it still keeps me in the game.
You're still in the game.
Right.
You're in the build,
right,
and you can touch it.
I'm not coming out the tunnel no more.
Right.
But when I do walk out, I still feel like, you know, I'm a part of the game.
Hey, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we got one of your former teammates, The Rock himself, Mitch Richmond. That's right, Sacramento Kings legend. Played with the Warriors, too.
Right.
He knows all about these franchises.
Yes, he
does.
He's
going to join us at the bottom of the hour, 4:30, less than 3 hours away from tip-off between Kings-Warriors, a game you can hear right here on Sacktown Sports 1140 with G-Man and the High Flyer. Coverage beginning at 5:30 with Game Night, Scott Marsh, Jason Ross. All right, let's talk about tonight's game. Before we get to some calls, 916-339-1140, must win for Sacramento, yes or no? And tell me why. Because when you talk to some of the players, and we're going to play De'Aaron Fox sound coming up in a minute, when you talk to some of the players, it might be one of 82.
No. No. That's the right thing to say, okay? But this is the first. Everybody wants to be a part of the first, KD. Everything that goes down in this tournament is going to go down in the history books. Nobody wants to say, okay, well, they was the second champion. You all want to say you was the first champion. Who was the first team to win the in-season tournament? That's going to be a trivia question for NBA history. So, no, it's not a regular game. They want to take this thing all the way.
You say that now.
I'm saying it now, and I'm going to say it then.
And you're going to say it then, but I want to play this De'Aaron Fox sound, Jay. Here's what De'Aaron Fox had to say about this matchup tonight with the Golden State Warriors. This was Foxy yesterday on the importance of this game.
Not necessarily. I mean, we play them so often, and I think the only reason that it seems crazy is because we matched up with them in the playoffs. Like, I mean, there was a chance last year that we probably would have matched up with the Clippers in the playoffs, so I think we probably have the same conversation if it was about them. But, I mean, the games don't feel different. I mean, the NBA can put someone TNT and ESPN or whatever it may be, but for us, you know, the regular season games don't mean more. Obviously, this being an in-season tournament game and playing them in the playoffs meant more. But, I mean, it's another one out of 82 for us.
High flyer.
You approach it that way.
Really?
You approach it that way until you come out of that locker room and this place erupts and you know this is not a regular game. Our fans are behind us. They want this game, so now we want this game. You say all the right things until you step out there and this place goes bonkers, and you're like, this ain't regular, fellas.
So that one of 82 comment we heard from De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
Is that trying to keep himself even keeled, level?
Yep.
Like, he don't want to be too amped up before the game.
Bro, that's a media answer.
What's up, baby? DJ Elements in the building. Hey, I need that jacket, fam. Right, look at that jacket. That jacket is clean.
Hey, that's a media answer.
Okay.
I'm going to give you all the smooth stuff. Did you even hear his demeanor? Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is another 82. Uh-huh. No problem. He cool with it.
Yeah.
You know, he's still in his bag. Yeah, you know, it's going to be the same thing. You know, I ain't tripping.
Right.
Right. You know what? And check this out. To Foxy's credit, we know this guy now.
Yeah.
All right? Let Steph come down and hit him in the chest with an elbow and say, it's on. You think he going to back down? No,
heck
he ain't.
No.
You think he going to act like it's a regular 82 game? No, he ain't. Fox going to flip the switch because we know that whenever De'Aaron gets angry, he's a different dude.
He is a different dude.
He a different beast. So let Steph come down and shoot him one. Oh, it's on.
It's on. It's on.
It ain't a regular game. It can change just that quick.
Derek says, Drapes, Foxy was sounding confident because he's bringing heat no matter who we plan.
I'm with that, too.
Okay. I'm cool with that, too. I'm cool with that, too.
You know what, though? And I'm cool with that mindset. See, I'm cool with that mindset of, you know what? It's just an 82-game series. I mean, an 82-game season. And every time I step on this floor, I'm bringing in 100. So you ain't got to worry about it. Nothing going to change.
It ain't right. It ain't no different. I'm bringing it all anyway.
I'm bringing
all
100.
That smoke anyway.
Yeah. I'll ride with that.
Hey, at the bottom of the hour, The Rock himself, Mitch Richmond, will be joining The Drive, guys. Remember, I started off this show, Sacramento, saying it's your show. So I'm going to open up the phone lines, 916-339-1140. We got a few callers on right now. Let's get through them. Tyrone, what's up, Ty? You're on with Drapes and the High Flyer.
Hey, guys. You guys earlier talked about Draymond Green, how the fans are going to react.
Yep.
And I know that we want to yell and boom, but really what we should do to him is nothing. Treat him like he's nobody. He's not there. Draymond who? Because he thrives on all the booing, all the yelling, all the fingers. He thrives on all that. Just treat him like nobody. But then when he's in the game, when he hits the hole, give him the business. Make sure he knows that the Kings are here.
What, the players give him the business? Like a little hard foul?
Yeah, the players.
Yeah.
The players, you know, within the rules. But, yeah, you let them feel you. Let them know, no, this is our court.
All right, appreciate you, Ty. What do you think, High Flyer?
You know,
the fans, that's one aspect of it, but the players is a different aspect.
That would be the high road for the fans.
Right.
Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. They're going to boo him every time he touched the floor. And, you know, I will agree with Tyrone. Draymond does feed off of that.
No, he does.
A lot of players feed off that. Kobe Bryant has admitted that he loves walking into a hostile environment. That makes him lock in even more. Some players use that as their advantage. Now, as far as being, you know, the players touching him up out there on the court, well, we just still talked about who's the enforcer for the Sacramento Kings.
Who is?
We ain't named nobody
yet. We ain't got nobody.
We ain't named nobody
yet. We haven't seen it yet.
Right. Right. I agree with him. He does need to be touched up out there on the floor. What did I tell you? The only thing could happen for Draymond Green to stop the antics. What needs to happen?
The players need to police his butt on the floor.
There you go. I agree 100%.
Red Velvet. And it better not be Kevin Herter. Kevin Herter is my guy. But Red Velvet sent the call in here.
We can't talk to Red.
No, not 3 hours before a game.
Okay.
That dude need to be locked in.
I'm with you.
Red Velvet, who are you? What's up, baby?
It's the Velveteers. This is Chris. I was sitting behind you, Drapes. You know that this night with Keegan out, that he's going to get his touches tonight, and Kevin is going to destroy the Warriors.
I would like to see that. Kevin, I appreciate that, Red Velvet. High Flyer, to me, Kevin Herter is the litmus test for this team. When Kevin Herter is playing well, Kings can't be beat.
When Kevin Herter is knocking down his shot, it definitely changes the dynamic for the Sacramento Kings. It really does because, you know, he gives them that fourth outside shot.
Right.
You know, you're going to always have De'Aaron there. You know, you always have Sabonis on the floor. But when Kevin Herter's knocking his shot down, now you can really go small and go De'Aaron, Kevin, and Malik.
And Malik also, yes.
See,
that's a potent offense. Hey,
if those dudes are knocking down shots, it's pick your poison, baby.
Hey, Caesar says Trey Lyles is the closest enforcer. Caesar on the YouTube chat, what do you think?
I will give him that. I truly believe Trey Lyles has enough gump to where he don't back down from anybody. You know, I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to jump out and really push the issue, but I do believe he won't back down. He's not a cat that's going to back down.
Right.
And I'll tell you who else is on the squad today. You got two more dudes that's not going to back down.
Who?
They're not going to push the issue, but they're not going to back down. Both of your big men. JaVale McGee is not going to back down. I guarantee you that. And Alex Lynn is not going to back down. Alex got some nasty.
He got some nasty.
Alex got a
lot of
nasty.
He's still out, though. We need him.
I know.
He's still out. But I feel you, though.
But I'm just saying, as far as trying to pinpoint some guys who got some nasty, both of those guys do, but they're not going to be the aggressor on it. Draymond is aggressor.
He's the aggressor. He's bringing it to you.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you this. Knowing the history of Draymond and the Kings, Sabonis stop, does somebody need to be the aggressor with him on this team?
Say what now?
Does somebody need to be the aggressor? Like,
well,
we shouldn't wait for Draymond to get into his antics again, right?
Wait.
I still haven't forgotten game two.
Here's the deal with that, KD. You know, it's either you're that guy or you're not. You can't flip the switch on and off. You know, it's either you're that guy or you're not. And, you know, Draymond is the guy. So his switch is always on. We don't have a guy that's going to match Draymond like that. But you do compete. You do make him feel you. I tell you what, the guy that needs to set the tone, and if he comes out and he set the tone, the Kings is winning for sure. And that's Domantas Sabonis.
Ooh.
If Domantas Sabonis comes out and sets the tone and be very aggressive, game over.
Game over. It's
game
a wrap.
Over. It's a wrap.
Nate Littlefield jumping in behind us is up. Nate Dogg.
It's wraps because you know why? Everybody on that roster is waiting.
Right. Everybody's looking at Domas. What you going to do?
And when he come out and be aggressive, I mean, D-Fox is tight where, like, soon as he see it, oh, yeah.
It's on. Let's go.
I'm with you. And everybody else on that roster is going to be like, let's go. Let's go. Big fella, you setting the tone? Let's go.
We got more with the High Flyer coming up in just a little bit. 10, I see you're holding on right now. 916-339-1140. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to check in with Mitch Richmond. That's right, The Rock. As the Warriors-Kings rivalry continues, you're listening to The Drive Guys here on Sactown Sports 1140.
Your home for Kings basketball for over 25
thinking
seasons.
Of a master plan. Sactown Sports.
This ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket all my money spent. So I get deeper, but still coming up with lint. So I start my mission, leave my residence. Thinking how could I get some dead presidents? I need money. I used to be a stick-up kid. So I think of all the devious things I did. I used to roll up.
This is okay.
Stop smiling, but still don't nothing move but the money. Come on, man.
Earn, because I'm righteous.
I feel great.
Well, maybe I might just search for a 9-to-5. Drapes and High Flyer here on Sactown Sports 1140. Jay Johnson. Hey, man. AJ, we need to create a playlist, man.
Classic.
Throw this thing on Spotify or Apple or something like that for people to download all the hits Jay Johnson playing. You're listening to The Drive Guys here. Coming up in 15 minutes, The Rock himself, Mitch Richmond, will be joining us. Then at the top of the hour, Chris Haynes. I see my man right across the way right there on the court
doing
some pregame stuff for TNT. He's going to be joining us as well. Draymond Green back in the building. Sacramento needs a win tonight. We know they need to beat the Warriors for psychological reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But in-season tournament reasons, they need to get to win to move on. If they lose, then we got to keep an eye on that Minnesota game and then check out point differential. You know, we've been talking a whole lot about Draymond, and I know you fans have been chiming in, 916-339-1140, taking your calls here in a minute. When I look at Draymond and when I watch him play, I see, like you said yesterday, Suge Knight. He's a big, bad bully when he got Steph Curry around, when he got Klay, he got Wiggins. They're winning. They're playing well. But then,
two of the best.
When he's losing, he's like a caged animal. He gets frustrated like a little kid. He tries to muck up the game.
Yep, I agree with you on that.
And to me, and we know this, Henry, high flyer. And when I call you Henry, that's when you know I'm being serious here. I'm trying to make a real point right here.
My government name.
Inside these lines, Draymond's one way. Outside, I don't know if he's down for that smoke. I don't know. I don't know. But here's the thing. When you're a multi-million dollar ball player, you don't have to be in the mud, in the gutter, be dirty.
But what has made him that multi-million dollar basketball player? What has made him?
High flyer.
It ain't his jump shot.
We know that.
Okay.
So you're saying he needs to play with that edge. He needs that.
Bro, that's who he is. And you know what? I don't like it, but I respect it. I don't – keep it straight 100. I don't like it at all, but I respect it because he wins with it.
I can't wait to ask Mitch Richmond about this too, because you guys played in the same era.
Yep.
You know, you guys from the same school. Y'all old school.
Yes, sir.
In today's NBA – how valuable is what Draymond gives to a team?
Bro, the proof is in the pudding. He got four championship rings, AD.
He was the fourth option on two of those.
I don't care. If you don't have that dude, you don't have him. Like I said, I don't like the way he plays. I don't. I don't like it, but I respect it. Because, once again, I might not be the most talented dude on the roster. You might be the most talented dude. Yeah. But if I can get in your head, right?
Yeah.
And get you out the game, it's a wrap. I win.
I don't like it, High Flyer.
I don't like it either, but you respect it. You got to respect it because he has the hardware to prove it.
Coming up at 4:30, Mitch Richmond, The Rock. I want to hear his take on it. I want to hear from you guys as well. 916-339-1140. 916-339-1140. Let's see. Do we still have 10? 10's been hanging on with Drapes and the High Flyer. 10, what's happening, man? What you got for us today?
What's happening? Yeah, it was very interesting to hear what the High Flyer just had to say about respecting Draymond's game, but not necessarily being a fan of it. You know, like, a lot of people can say the same, possibly for football. Like, they don't like football player Odell Beckham Jr.'s antics, you know, but hey, man, they got the hardware and they got stuff to back it up, I guess.
All right, Ten, appreciate you, man. Yeah, and I guess, hey, but what?
I like that he flipped the sport. It's a lot of people that did not like and still don't like prime time Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
You don't like him, but I tell you what, you got to respect him.
You comparing Draymond to primetime.
No, you got to respect his game.
Primetime had game.
Draymond, you have to respect Draymond's game.
You know what Draymond is, though, High Flyer?
I know what he is.
No, he's that guy that's not as talented.
He's not.
So he tries to do other things.
He makes up for it.
In dirty play.
Hard. He's dirty. I give you that. He does dirty stuff out there on the basketball.
Because we've all been on the playground with that dude.
Uh-huh.
You busting him up.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, he's so frustrated.
Right.
He starts resorting to dirty tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Starts grabbing a little more. Starts holding him a little more. A little elbow here and there.
That's when the game get broke up.
That's when the game get broken up. That's what Draymond Green is.
Yes, he is.
But he's gotten away with it his entire career. And for him to say what happened in 2016 shouldn't matter. Yeah. In my suspension, all that. You got a reputation.
I'm glad you say he has gotten away with it, right? He's gotten away with it. Do you agree?
Yes.
Yes, he's gotten away with it, and he's won with it. That's where I say you have to respect it. You can hate it all day and night, but the dude has won with it. If he ain't got no championship rings, KD, I'm like, go on, bro. I don't even want to talk to you.
Here's the thing, though, High Flyer, and I understand your point. But Steph Curry got them championships.
Yep.
Klay Thompson got them championships.
Yep.
Kevin Durant got them championships.
Yep.
If we checking off a list of who's responsible for those championships. You know, Draymond's after all those dudes.
Yeah, you got boys with you.
Steve Kerr, we could argue.
Yes.
Helped win them championships.
Yes, but I will say this too. In certain instances, if you don't have Draymond Green, you might not have four. You might not have four. If you don't have D. Green, you don't have four. You might still have two. But see, that's where I'm separating it, KD. I'm separating it from, okay, we don't like the way he played. We don't.
Right.
We say that he has definitely got away with murder. Yes, he has. And the reason why he's gotten away with murder is because he has won with it. As soon as you stop winning, I'm telling you, all that's going to change. Because they're not going to accept it anymore.
I maintain.
The last dance, baby.
The last dance. I agree with you. Put Draymond Green on the Pistons right now. Put Draymond Green on the Hornets right now.
He'll be Marvin Bagley.
Exactly.
Yep. Yep. Because he's not a one.
He's not a one.
Nope. He's not a Batman.
As the YouTube chat says,
no, he's not a
Batman. He's an expensive backpack.
Yeah. Yeah. He is an expensive backpack that when you have to have a pocket for your water bottle because you're in the desert, he's that pocket.
He's that pocket. Let me, and Caesar 916, I'm reading the YouTube chat as we talk here, says Draymond is the modern day Rodman. And that's disrespectful to Dennis Rodman to me.
Because
Rodman rebounded, defended, and I know Draymond does, but Draymond's slipping in those areas. Rodman was a really good. You look at those Bulls teams, Pippen, Jordan, and Rodman.
Right.
There was no fourth or fifth option.
No,
like Dennis Rodman.
Nobody else did what Dennis did.
Right.
Draymond is very good at what he does, and Draymond does a lot of things very, very good. I'll say this: you know, you have some basketball players, KD, that are great.
Yeah.
Steph Curry. Great shooter.
Yes.
All right. When you look at Chris Paul, great assist man, great general. Draymond does a lot of things well. He rebounds well. He defends well. He passes well. His basketball IQ is through the roof.
Yeah, okay.
See, the antics that he brings and the way he gets into other players' heads and get other players out of the game is extraordinary. That's what keeps
talent.
That's what keeps this dude in the game.
Man.
That's it. You don't have to like it, but you gotta respect it.
We know, and one of the things that bothered me about the Kings during the playoffs, Draymond gets suspended for game three.
Right.
He comes back here, I believe it was game five, and has like 21.
Oh, he balled out.
You can't let a guy like doing all that talking automatics then come up here and bust you. So, if you're the Kings, what do you got in store for Draymond? How do you combat all his antics and whatever he's doing?
We said it. You better match his energy, baby. Mm. There's no way he walks into your building and outperform you on the effort side. No way, no how.
And that's not a coach thing. A coach shouldn't have to hype you up for that.
Let me tell you something. If you have to be hyped up, if you have to be hyped up for a game like this, you don't belong in the league. If you have to be wound up for a game like this, out of everything we talked about, KD, the battle of the North Bay, okay, the in-season tourney, all right, game seven, all right, preseason game, okay, Draymond basically running over your number one, number two guy. If you have to be hyped up for this game, oh, bro, you don't belong here.
The Warriors have won 8 out of the last 9 games against the Sacramento Kings, including preseason.
We have been the little brother.
It has to end tonight.
Yep.
We're going to take your calls, but coming up next, The Rock himself, Mitch Richmond, Kings legend, will be joining The Drive, guys. You're listening to Drapes and High Flyer here on Sactown Sports 1140.
Tens of a million pairs of eyes looking hard but won't realize that they will never see the pee.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sactown Sports.
see you. I see you over there. I see you. Drapes in the High Flyer here on Sactown Sports 1140. You're listening to The Drive, guys. I'm not going to have this dude wait any longer, High Flyer. I'm going to bring him on right now. Kings legend himself, Richmond, joining The Drive, guys. Mitch, what's up, man? You're on with Kyle and High Flyer. How you doing, bro?
Man, how you guys doing, man? Nice to talk to you.
Hey, here's the deal. I mean, you got to give it to him right now. I'm talking All-Star MVP Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Mitch Richmond.
Put some respect on that, right?
Put some respect on it, dog. You can't leave off the Hall of Fame.
Come on in. I see you.
Mitch, thanks for jumping on, man. Obviously, it's a big night here in Sacramento. Kings, Warriors, you played for both franchises. You see where they're at now. What do you think about these two franchises now becoming rivals just an hour and change apart right now?
Man, I thought it was always a rival. But I think Sacramento now has really put together a beautiful team, a team that is competitive. And it really kind of plays a style like Golden State plays, a lot younger group, and they also have size with the big fella, Sabonis.
You know what, Mitch? I want to ask you this, man. You started off down in Golden State, and because we talk about Sacramento being a destination for free agents, talk about your transition from when you left Golden State and just came an hour down to Sacramento.
Yeah, I think at that time, man, it was pretty difficult for me because of the success that Golden State was having and that we were having on that squad. And then coming down right down the street, Sacramento was we had some good young talent, but at that particular time, we were really trying to find our identity and really trying to establish ourselves. So it was a difficult move for myself. But I think now, free agents are looking at Sacramento as a destination of free agency. I think Mike Brown has put together a great, great unit. He has a great bench. He also has some good starters, and they're playing, I think, unselfishly like you want to play, you know?
Mitch Richmond, the 5-time All-NBA, 6-time All-Star, All-Star Game MVP, All-Rookie Squad, Rookie of the Year. Is that enough accolades, High Flyer?
Hey,
I'm putting respect on my man.
Hey, this my dude, man. You got to give him all his flowers.
Hey, man, I appreciate you, man. You doing your thing. You gave me some love. I hear you.
Me and Mitch used to do TV together. That first year here in Sac, Mitch and I were on a pre- and post-game together, man. And I remember those early days, Mitch. It was some lean years, man, with this team, talking about the Kings. They were struggling. I was looking like, man, what did I get myself into? To see the growth of this franchise, and specifically a guy like De'Aaron Fox, Mitch, what do you think about his development over these last few years?
Well, I think if you look back when he first came into the league, he was struggling, I think, with his outside shot, really trying to find his rhythm, but he was definitely a great talent. And I think it has to go also, you have to play the right style. With a guy like him, who is probably one of the fastest guys in the league, you need to play an up-and-down style. And I think now he's showcasing his talents. No one can stay in front of him. And then now when you're trying to stay in front of him, he can hit the three. I think he's making his free throws now. I think he's becoming more of a leader, and he knows that this is his ball team now. So he's playing outstanding.
And you know what, Mitch? I'm glad you brought up the word style, because that's a huge thing for this Sacramento Kings team. They like to run up and down. And, and a lot of people forgot who was the master orchestrator of the small ball run up and down the floor. I keep telling people all the time, first thing they want to talk about, oh, it was Mike D'Antoni. I'm like, no. Don Nelson and the Golden State Warriors started that small ball when y'all put Rod Higgins at the five.
No question about it. And I think when you have talented players on your team, in order to keep everyone happy, you have to play a fast style to get everyone touches, give everybody opportunities, and you have to play an unselfish way. And you can see that the Kings are really kind of – and it's really hard for a young team to kind of play that way and buy in. But I think you got, you know, Mike Brown, who's at the helm, who's really showing these guys that if you play unselfishly, you know, passing up shots, or not passing up shots, but passing up to a great shot, and you see the ball movement is crazy at times in the game, that they're having a good shot, but they're getting a greater one later on. So they're really fun to watch. It used to be where Golden State was the only team in the league, was really truly fun to watch by how they really kind of share the ball. Now Sacramento has taken on that type of identity, and it's fun to watch. It really is.
Mitch Richmond started here in Sacramento for 7 seasons. Now tonight, the Kings taking on the Warriors. Draymond Green's first back from a 5-game suspension, Mitch. What do you make of a player like Draymond and him getting suspended? And how should Kings fans and players, you know, approach him tonight? Because, you know, me and High Flyer, we're arguing, you know, every team needs a Draymond, all this. I'm saying I get that, but – come on, man. It's a line you can't cross.
Yeah, I think, you know, you know, sometimes he kind of toed the line on both sides. But I think if he doesn't do it, they don't have another guy on that team that can really kind of bring that presence and that attitude with that team. And I think, you know, that's why the Golden State Warriors really kind of back him like that, because if he doesn't bring that intensity and that toughness, you know, that team is, you know, really kind of like a lot of good guys, a lot of just play their style and, you know, don't talk much. But they have to have a little nastiness to them, and I think Draymond Green brings that. And sometimes he definitely toes the line.
Now,
you know, yeah, you're looking at Sacramento now. You know, Sabonis is kind of that guy as well. You know, he kind of gets up under your skin a little bit, kind of beats you up. And he's the enforcer as well as for with Sacramento. I mean,
okay, yeah. Mitch, we're gonna do this like this, bro. I want you to keep it straight up, straight 100 with your boy, because I know you.
Straight up. What's up?
We're talking just the last fraction by Draymond Green on Rudy Gobert. Now, back in our day, would you see Draymond? Now I want you to answer yes or no. Would you see Draymond Green running up on Xavier McDaniels?
No. At that time, guys was throwing. You know what I mean? guys was throwing at that time. You know what I mean? So. Hey. I don't see that. I think you got to, you know, Draymond knows the rules of the game. No one is going to throw a punch. And if you throw a punch, you'd probably be gone for a long period of time. The rules was definitely different back then, and you didn't try to turn your back on anybody. You tried to square off on the whole team. And if you had any problems, you wanted space, and you wanted to look around and see who's coming at you. And so I think, you know, Draymond is the enforcer, man. That's what he does, no question.
Okay, but I'm just saying, back in the day, he wasn't running up on Anthony Mason and Charles Oakley and doing
what he was doing. Rudy Gobert is soft as tissue. We know that. He could get away with it.
I mean, Draymond, I mean, it's like anything. People know who to run up on. No question about it.
And then, last part of it, Mitch. Okay.
Yeah.
He does his thing. But how many times when we played, if a player was touching you up, we made sure he was going to feel it. If a dude was touching you up, and when I came in and subbed for you, all you had to say is, Hank, touch him up a little bit. And, bro, believe me, he was sore when I came out the game.
Oh, no question about it. But I think, you know, we all have to look back. And back in that time, that happened a lot, because we were able to get a shot off on a guy if he goes through the lane. We've been able to hit him every once in a while. Now you can't even touch no one. So it's very hard to get your lick off and then not look like it's, you know, I tried to do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to do that now. Usually when you come through the lane, you know, you're looking at the ball and the guy comes, you give him a little shoulder, like, oh, man, I ain't even see him. My bad. You know what I mean? But now you can't even do that. So it's very hard to kind of get that lick unless he's trying to go to the hole and make a layup and you make him feel it on that part.
I'm saying, where's the Vernon Maxwells of the world?
those days are gone, man.
I know.
Those days are long gone. If you want to see that, bro, you're going to have to go to the park.
Oh, yeah. They still like that in the park. I know that.
They're still playing like that. You know,
100%. Mitch, you know, when I look back on your career, you're obviously a two-way player, one of the toughest guards to defend. Yeah. How would you fare in today's NBA? Do you ever think that, man, if I played today, first of all, with as many threes as they're taking, I think the most you took in a single season per game was like 6.4. Nowadays, dudes are taking 10, 11 threes a game. You ever think, like, man, if I was hooping now, no hand checking, guys can't touch you, I'd be averaging 33, 34 a game.
Man, I would be lying if I say I'd never think about that. Like, come on, man. Like, no question about it. I think it's just the evolution of the game. And if we were able to actually shoot more threes, no question about it. You know, I would have shot more threes, and definitely I can fare in this generation. I think the one thing that is different is back when we shot threes, you know, at that time we had big men that really kind of, you know, if you make a mistake and shoot a bad three, I think right now we see is a lot of bad three-point shots. And you give the opportunity for the other team to come down and get a two-point shot or a layup or whatever that is. But now both teams are shooting threes, so they kind of like, you know, wash each other out. Back then, you shoot a bad three, you go down and you got Olajuwon dunking the ball down there, making an and one. You really kind of, when you shot a bad shot, you really made them pay for it. And that's why I think back in the day that you didn't try to shoot that many threes or try to take contested threes, because back on the other end, that was the whole idea was, if they shoot a bad three, we're going down and we're attacking them right away. So you took advantage of those long shots, and you don't do that now because everyone is shooting threes. Nobody's posting up.
And, Mitch, you talk about wish you can play in today's era. Can you can you imagine your boy to where if I drove to the basket and you couldn't touch me?
Yeah. Oh, my God, man. You was a high flyer.
You be posterizing cats?
Over, bro. Man,
Henry was a high flyer, man. People don't know. Henry was a high flyer. No question about it.
If I went to the rack and you couldn't touch me, it's over, bro. You can forget it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of guys, you know, especially in this generation, I hear Gilbert Arenas always, and I hear a lot of guys talking about, you know, it wasn't no athleticism, but it was a physical play of a physical contact. So if we play with no hand check, I'm definitely the physical, definitely the athleticism is probably top tier now. But you're talking about guys that can really fly, they would have been able to get to the rack as well. It's just that we had defenses that we tried to make sure that we didn't let a guy get to the flight. You know, we tried to hold him down as much as we can before he gets into the air. And especially Michael, you know, Michael was one of those guys that he take two steps and he's in the air. So you want to try to keep your body on him before he takes flight.
You know, Mitch, I talk about the work ethic that you and Chris instilled in me early on in our careers, man. You know, I try to tell a lot of young guys, I said, you know, I had a chance to work out with two Hall of Famers my early years in the NBA. I said, these dudes worked out so much and so diligently. I was like, man, I don't even know if I want to be in the NBA, man, because you guys, y'all put in the work big time. Right.
Well, I think, you know, Henry, you know, you got to give yourself a little credit because – you know, we used to battle at Salvation Army. That's where we used to practice at in the summertime. And we used to battle. And we had some guys that was, you know, local guys that was really, really good. But you were one of the guys that stood out. And no doubt that, you know, we were trying to get you on the team because of what you showed in the summertime of how you can defend and how you can play and how your game was. So, you know, you got to give yourself a little credit, man, because you showed yourself that you can play against anyone, and you got me ready every summer to get ready for the season.
Mitch Richmond, Hall of Famer, joining the Drive Guys, High Flyer, Henry Turner, and Kyle Draper. Mitch, when you look at Northern California basketball, and I'm going to just say from 85 on when the Kings came here to Sacramento, when I look at a Mount Rushmore, the best players – obviously, you have to be on that list, not only for Sacramento, but Golden State as well. Steph Curry could be on there. Who else would you say represented Northern California basketball during your time and even today?
Oh, man. I mean, it's so many players. Definitely the three, Golden State as far as Tim Hardaway. And then you go down the line where it was Sprewell. Webb was one of those guys, only played 1 year. Who else? There's so many guys. And then you look at Sacramento, you got to put Cousins on there as well. Who else is there? There's so many great players that came. And Wayman Tisdale, who was one of the guys who played at Sacramento. That was one of those guys that was really good at that particular time. But, yeah, no doubt the older heads as far as who is Nate Thurman, those guys. It's so many guys that you can put on that list as well, no doubt.
Rich, Mitch, who was your vet when you came into the league? Who's that guy that took you under the wing?
Oh, man, I had a great core of guys that really kind of molded me. I had the Animal, Larry Smith. Ooh. I had Terry Teagle. I had Rod Higgins, one of my great friends. At that time, Chris Mullin was one of those guys that was in the league before me. One of the guys that really people don't know our connection was Ralph Sampson. Ralph Sampson was the one guy that really kind of took me up under his wing as far as Rod Higgins and all those other guys. But, Ralph, I would have breakfast with Ralph when we were at Golden State a lot. And he would just tell me about the league. He would tell me about the pitfalls. He would tell me about a lot of things that was going on around the league. And, I love having those talks with him and breakfast when he used to just tell me about a lot of things. And when I got inducted to the Hall of Fame, Ralph was one of those guys that inducted me because he was just a great influence on me.
Hey, Mitch, the thing that's so crazy, bro, and mm-hmm. I never knew that about you and Ralph.
Right.
But guess who was my guy here in Sacramento?
Who was that?
Ralph Sampson and Rodney McCray.
Ralph.
We did the exact same thing.
Yes.
That's nuts.
Yes. Hey, I got a great story on that because at that time John Starks was a rookie with me at Golden State, and me and Ralph would have breakfast every morning. And at that time, all the rookies would have to tote the bags and do all of the dirty work. But John Starks always bucked at it. Like, I ain't doing nothing. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't say nothing. And I remember Larry Smith say, since you ain't doing nothing, Mitch and all the other rookies, y'all don't do nothing. John, you're going to do everything. And
what?
So for that whole year, me and Ralph would go out to eat and breakfast in the morning. And I can remember probably about 6 or 7 times into that, John Stark came on the bus. He's like, man, I don't know who keep putting their breakfast on my room. You know what I mean? And I don't know who's doing that, but it was Ryan Sampson because he would always say something to John, and John would be like, man, I ain't doing nothing. So Ryan said, okay. So every morning, everywhere we went, he would put our breakfast bill. He would put the bill on John Stark's room.
That's classic right there.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh man, that's awesome. That's awesome. No, but we had a great time though. It was fun. It was fun.
The Rock, Mitch Richmond, joining us. Mitch, you bring up Ralph Sampson, and there's a lot of talk about tall, skilled big men. We're seeing Victor Wembanyama. There's some who say, Ralph Sampson was that guy and could have been that guy if the coaches allowed him back in the day to handle the Rock. You know how it is back in the day. If you were a big man, you weren't handling the Rock. Tell me about Ralph Sampson. Educate the people on how great Ralph Sampson was.
Man, Ralph was awesome, man, and he did want to play outside. And I think if he would have had the ability to really kind of work on his game like these big guys are doing now and to show that they can shoot outside, Ralph would have been that guy because Ralph always liked to go between the legs. He likes to bring it up. And, he was so good. He was really good inside. But he wanted to show that I can do more than that. And at that time, the game was a totally different game. But, a lot of teams did not let him play that way.
Mitch Richmond joining us. Mitch, we got the in-season tournament. A couple more minutes here, and I'm going to let you go, man. I appreciate your time. What do you think about this in-season tournament, man? $500,000 for each player if they win this thing.
Hey, come on, man. Hey, listen, well, for me, I think it's good because I think what the league is really and truly trying to do is a lot of teams, you know, kind of rest their players and get ready for the last part of the season. Now, you know, it shows you who's going to rest their guys. Like, are you really trying to win? Or are you just trying to, you know what I mean? Like, now guys are really showing up and really showing out, you know. And it's good for the Kings because I think, you know, these teams like this, as far as when I play, we had a great season sometimes in the early part of the season. Mm. And then we kind of faltered at the end. And you see Sacramento is leading. And this gives a team a great boost, and it gives them something in the middle part of the season to be like, hey, man, why stop here? Continue to keep going. Why we stop here? And I think it's great. We still don't know what's going on, but, hey, in season, let's do it. I like it.
You know what, Mitch? You know, KD asked me. Mm-hmm. He asked me about, you know, coming out of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. How you prepare for a game. And mm-hmm. I told him, I said, there's nothing else that we can do in life that mm-hmm. gives us that exact same high as when we run out of that tunnel.
No question about it. No question about it. Yeah. I think, you know, we always talk about players that are injured, and everyone has little nicks and, you know, cracks and every when you get ready to play a game. But for, you know, you got to give credit to the Sacramento Kings as far as their fan base. I can remember I was sore. My knee was sore to the touch. But when I ran out on the court and saw the fans there, you know, cheering us on, even though that we had some rough years, listen, man, I mean, that gives you motivation to get up and play hard each and every night. I knew I was going to bring it, but it gave me an extra motivation to do what I do. And then, you know, you just block everything out and play.
Mitch Richmond, final question before I let you get out of here. Yeah. Michael Jordan called you the toughest guy he's ever had to go against. Mm-hmm. Give me an MJ story. Like, when you would go against Michael,
right?
Even in pregame warmups, did you ever look mm-hmm. down and see him warming up and try to size him up? What was that moment like before you even took the court trying to prepare for a guy like Jordan?
No, my preparation for Michael was pretty much two or three nights before. Looking at a lot of film, you know, and it's hard to look at a lot of film when a guy, you know, is touching the ball from all areas of the court and shooting 80% of their shots, but was so fluid and shooting 50%. So what I tried to do is just really try to watch film and try to see some of the things that he would like to do, even though that, you know, you couldn't stop him, but you wanted to try to slow him down. So I had to, you know, kind of put in the mindset of how am I going to guard him? You know what I mean? So I tried to use my body as much as I possibly can against him and not let him come at me, not let him get a running start at me, because that's when he was at his best. So, yeah, and then the pregame, no, I wasn't looking down there at that time. I was really focused and trying to get ready to be prepared, because I know he's going to bring it. And people always ask me, man, did Mike ever say anything to you? Did y'all ever talk? I said, man, we never talked.
Really?
We shook hands and we played. And, you know, we never said anything during the game.
No trash talk during the game or nothing, huh?
Nothing. No talking.
KD?
No,
KD?
No nothing.
Hey,
no nothing.
You let sleeping dogs lie with the black cat.
Hey, man, yeah. You just keep playing, man. You play hard. I just always know if I play hard, and then I just have to live with the results at the end of the day. If I know if I didn't play hard, then I know that I have something to give. But my whole thing, man, just by, you know, when I start playing, you know, I came from football, so I was a little physical, so I always played hard. But that got me over the hump. I wasn't a guy that would do a lot of talking unless the guy started talking to me. So that's the only thing.
Mitch Richmond, on that note, we're going to let you go, my man. Yeah. Hey, The Rock, I appreciate you, man.
I'm going to give a shout-out to my guy because I know he's listening.
Yeah.
My insurance guy been taking care of me since I was at Golden State. I mean, since I was at Sacramento, and I know he's listening right now. His name is Gary Hatano. he's still my insurance guy. So I know he's always watching. He's a big King fan, and he's always listening to you guys. So, hey, thank you guys for having me on, man. Appreciate
hey, Mitch, tell the family I say what's up, baby.
I will, man. I will do that. All right.
All right.
I'll be good.
All okay, right, man. Mitch Richmond, the Hall of Famer. Thanks so much, Mitch. When we come back, my guy Chris Haynes, hey, you know it's a big game. He's suited and booted. He looking nice tonight. Ooh. He's going to be joining us.
He opened
He's on that
clean.
TNT broadcast. More of the Drive Guys with Drapes and the High Flyer next.